Don't cut our B-roll.
No, I always cut the B-roll and then put it at the end of the podcast. That way people know what we're talking about. And we don't have 20 minutes of people just being like, oh, we're not going to listen to this podcast where they talk about dicks for an hour and a half.
Why
That's
not?
That's the draw.
I fuck everyone who doesn't want to listen to us talk about dicks. Look, I only want the dick listeners.
I'm fine with us talking about dicks for a half an hour, but I want them to at least think we'll discuss the movie at some point.
We always discuss the movie. It's just after we've had a lengthy, girthy conversation about dicks.
Right. That's why this time we're going to try something different and just jump right into the movie, which was Vampire Hunter D.
Vampire Hunters D. We're not going to make any dick jokes about this movie. Hi, I'm Josh. I'm an analyst here in Nashville, and I've got the Vampire Hunters D.
I'm Rick Fox. I am an author here in Nashville, and I've got the weird tongue in my hand, and I don't know. All the ladies love it. Is that the angle we're going with this? I don't
know.
What kind of vampire stuff have you been watching?
Isn't that Vampire Hunter D the guy that's got the hand in his palm?
I
think most people have got a hand with their palm.
No, I mean a mouth in their palm.
There are several vampires.
Thinking of Helsing?
Nope, that's definitely not Helsing because he's got eyes. His eye thing is the eyes.
Sure. The main character of Vampire Hunter is always a girl, isn't it?
No.
What am I
thinking of? You're thinking of Claymore.
No, the one with vampires.
Which is a good anime.
That has vampires.
Claymore vampires?
Who are you? Sure. Who are you? Who are you?
I'm Vampire
Vampire Hunter Brian.
I'm Brian. I'm an illustrator here in Nashville, and I don't know what the D stands for.
Oh.
I'm Caleb. I am an analyst here in Nashville, and I have a crossbow that shoots pointy D's.
And we're opinionated. And tonight, we're watching Vampire Hunter D. Vampire Hunter D came out in 1985. It currently has a 7.2 on IMDb. It was directed by Toyu Ishida, written by Hideyuki Kuichi, and it stars Kaneto Shiozawa, Michi Tomizawa, and many others.
A young girl requests the help of a vampire hunter to kill the vampire who has bitten her, and thus prevent her from becoming a vampire herself.
IMDb just challenged themselves to throw the word vampire as often as possible into that summary.
And succeeded.
I've never heard of this intellectual property. I've never seen anything about it.
I'm sure
everything
you've seen,
here is a mystery.
Cuts from it.
I am pretty sure I've seen this before because I'm pretty sure our mutual friend Derek has watched this with me.
Yeah, that's thanks to him. I am aware of it in the first place.
Okay.
I think of it as being like OG anime, and granted, it's very old, but I've realized as I've gotten older that not everything ages well. So as I'm rewatching things such as Evangelion, I thought it was okay the first time, and now I'm just like, what?
You can watch the
well,
new stuff.
To be fair, you're not the right age. To watch Evangelion and really have your mind blown, you have to be a teenager. I don't think it's possible to watch it at any other age and take it seriously.
Or I might say like Dragon Ball Z. For similar reasons, I don't think I would have the patience, nearly the patience for it that I would have had if I was still a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This sounds a little like Van Helsing-y because it's someone hunting a vampire.
Well, yeah.
I guess.
Well,
that's
this is
the
like,
context that I've got for it. What kind of movie are we walking into?
Is everyone like, looks like elves.
This is the primordial like vampire anime.
I think that the crazy thing that like you wouldn't expect is I'm pretty sure this is a post-apocalyptic world. Like, this guy is just sort of running around in a ruined world and, like, killing vampires because that's what he does.
But I was thinking this was Blood.
The
when
Hugh
we were
Jackman
talking about
Helsing movie meets Castlevania.
Yeah, that's probably a good way to put it. Yeah.
Is this movie, like, cult status, like historically significant? Because I know in previous animes you've like brought in some movies that are like, hey, this is significant in the interest of anime in the West or something like that. Is there anything like that for this movie?
It doesn't have the cultural impact that I think like an Akira or a Ghost in the Shell has, but I think that's partly because the genre isn't the right kind to have that. Like when people see Akira or Ghost in the Shell, that hit at just the right time when cyberpunk and that kind of thing were hitting hard in America. And so this didn't have that. But I think that you're not incorrect, Caleb, to call this an OG anime. I think that when you talk to people who were super into anime at that time, this is one of the ones that they're like, oh, you wanted to see this.
Right.
It just hasn't had that cultural impact, I think, that a lot of movies have.
But at the same time, there's this sub-theme of people that are always going to be into vampire shit when it pops up, and or werewolf, but it doesn't get as much screen time. And this was kind of one of the first things that I think that they had to really key in on.
Right.
Like, what is that fandom called?
There's got to be a name for like the we love vampires and werewolves and it's like the gothic horror fandom or something.
Yeah. White
horny gothic
kids.
Teenage girls.
There's guys who dressing like horny emo.
The horny goths.
Horny goths. That's sure, what it is. Yeah.
Like you should compare this to when like the Dracula movie came out. I'm sure it's gonna be afterwards, but maybe not by that much.
Right.
Or I could be radically incorrect. I don't
know. Dracula?
Bram like black and white one.
Oh, like the old school one? That was like 50s.
Like I said, I'm not very good with dates right now.
Speaking of Dracula, I had a fire Dracula joke that no one laughed at, and it made me mad.
When? All right,
let's hear it.
Do you know what Count Chocula's real name is?
What?
Bram Stoker.
Damn it! You uncultured swine! Why does no one laugh at this joke?
Stover make chocolate?
Right.
Yeah, Stover makes those like big like boxes of the like multiple chocolate, like the filled chocolate candies.
Oh, I
thought Russell Stover chocolate boxes.
See, I didn't understand because I thought you were just making a joke about stoves.
Oh my gosh.
You know where else you can find jokes?
Sadly, I was on the same train of thought.
I hate you. Oh, that's a great joke.
You know where else you can find jokes that no one laughs at?
On your pod, no, on our podcast, which you can find. Oh,
no, I was going to lead in my book.
Damn it. Why did I give you the end card? My nose is too distracting.
It's red.
You know, hey, Rick, you know where else people can find terrible jokes? In your book,
that's
Fate's
correct.
Bond. It's available on Amazon in paperback and e-reader forms. Rick, are there good jokes in your book too?
Amazing jokes. The best jokes.
Okay.
You will laugh until you pee yourself. There's a joke about peeing yourself.
If you want to laugh until you pee yourself and then cringe just a little bit, go check out Rick's book, Fate's Pawn. It's available on Amazon. Additionally, our Patreon has dropped. That's patreon.com/opinionated. For as little as $1 a month, you can get early access to our episodes, first impressions, listener requests, all sorts of bonus content. So definitely go check that out. Again, that's patreon.com/opinionated. Guys, we're going to be back in just a minute after we're finished watching Vampire Hunter D.
Those who know him call him D. A solitary hunter, he roams the vast wastelands between the light and the darkness. The year is 12,090 AD. It is a world where humanity is ruled by vampires. A world where love is stained with blood. Where hope is eclipsed by despair. When a young woman named Doris falls prey to the vampire's fangs, who will save her? Vampire Hunter D.
Did you see what their house was wearing? Practically nothing.
Did you see what that girl was wearing when she was killing those dinosaurs?
Also practically nothing. This movie's weird.
This movie's like a very weird. Outfit.
They hadn't invented pants for women back in those days.
No, they just forgot the technology.
That's right. This is the distant future.
That's right. The distant future past.
I guess. Because
the year 2002, even though the vampires have been around for 10,000 years.
I want to know.
Year
it's very retro
25.
Cyberpunk.
Oh, yeah. I want to know at what point we decided, all right, these car things are cool, but what if we had robot horses instead?
They who don't really have things. Any impressive skills.
No, they're just...
It's just a horse. That's also a robot.
Exactly. It's a horse you don't have to feed as much.
Right.
And they've got, like... They've got fences where, in order to stop the vampires, they've got crosses all along the fence line, but also, like, technology sticks that do something.
I think there were sensors or bombs or something.
Well, two-thirds of the way through the movie, when the doctor comes back and he's a vampire, but we don't know it yet, he has to turn off the technology fence.
Yeah.
But... The cross fence is it's kind of inconsistent.
Yeah.
Wait.
Maybe they already broke the cross fence.
Did the doctor turn off the fence and that's why the vampires were able to do stuff? Or
no, when he came back and was like, oh, come with me. I'll take you to safety. And then like halfway along the carriage ride, he's like, ha ha.
Gotcha.
Broke your necklace and popped out your tit. How you feel about them apples, huh?
This movie is weird in how it goes about. It's like, let's show some titty. Like,
because it's in the same way that you'd be like a very early 80s PG movie.
Yeah.
You'd expect at least one boob.
Right.
Right. Like the scene in, what were we watching the other day? Was it Commando where he like busts through a hotel wall and there's just like a couple and they're like, you caught us banging. And then it just cuts away and it's like, all right, there we go. We got our tits in the movie.
Here's the thing that's weird about it to me. It is gratuitous, but in a very nondescript way. Like none of it is like, all right, we're showing some unnecessary banging or someone who is like unnecessarily horny in the scene. It's just like, all right, and he swiped at her necklace and outs her boob, and it's back in, and no one's ever going to mention that.
It literally feels like they were just checking the box.
Right? Yeah,
it feels more natural that way.
Like we have to show some boobies. All right, well, there really hasn't been enough. We kind of had to fire Todd. He animated the snake boobies, and those just did not turn out well at all. So what if we have a 10-second scene where she's showering, and then it just cuts away and, like, it for doesn't no
reason,
matter. Yeah.
Well, the
like,
only reason that she's showering is that we can show her naked briefly 5 minutes later.
Right. Like, it's...
For no good reasons.
Well, she wanted to get clean for the fucking, for the D.
But there was no D. There was no fucking.
It's always funny
to me
when
there's,
like... Yeah,
but virtuous.
So she could show her sweet, sweet back neck cleavage.
Right. Yes. It's weird because it hits a lot of those notes across the board.
Oh yeah,
but
this is a very 80s movie.
Yeah, even the fights themselves are like, are there good fights in this movie?
No, not really.
They here's the thing. You know what they all feel like? They all feel like Sailor Moon fights.
Well, I mean, this probably inspired to some
Sailor
degree,
Moon
Sailor
fights
Moon.
Were pretty good compared to this.
Were they?
Yeah.
This is the thing about this movie. It is of a style that is a lot earlier than what we're used to. This is very much in the Fist of the North Star vein where the entire story is just... there is
back
a,
before things happened in stories.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. It's very much in the... There's a wandering badass. There will be a fight. The fight will be over in 2 seconds. It will not be a back and forth or anything like that. It's just there will maybe be one reveal and then that will decide the fight.
The story
is
more of
really
just a
list.
There
wasn't really any good anime at this point in time.
There was. I would say there was.
Might be too much of a universal
statement.
What
was good anime at this point in time?
Like Dragon Ball Z hadn't been created.
It depends. No, Dragon Ball Z would have been coming
Astro
out of
Boy.
Stuff.
I like Astro Boy.
I'm all mixed up with my timelines tonight.
I mean,
Cyborg 009? I want to say 9.
I'll take your word on that.
All right, there were two good anime.
There were several. It's just there were different genres, and this was the genre of action checklist.
That it's I think it's less that, and I think it's just the difference in sensibility and also like what we expect from animation quality at this stage.
Okay. I would like for us to the best of our abilities, go through the events of this movie in chronological order, because I feel like a number of, if not all of our listeners have never seen this movie
before.
That's
probably accurate.
So we should try and give a recap of what happens.
Right.
Who wants to start? I guess I'll start. What's her name?
I was just going to say
Doris.
A girl whose name I just remembered. Yeah. I don't know.
I wanted to call her Dolores the whole time, but it's Doris.
Our main character, the blonde hair, blue eyed woman Doris.
Sailor Moon eyed.
Well, green haired initially because it was nighttime.
Right, sure. Yeah.
Is hunting a dinosaur.
Yep. And then, for reasons.
It's dangerous, I guess.
Well, to show how post-apocalyptic it is.
To show that she's a badass.
Because times are hard.
Yeah.
So hard that the dinosaurs came back.
And you can't, women can't afford pants.
And, nope.
I figured after
no
she
pants.
Downed the dinosaur, they were at least going to take it home and
that's
eat it or something.
That's what I thought, too.
But no, she just goes, blah, 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 blah.
I think it was just dangerous and she was getting rid of it.
Yeah, that could be like,
because it was hunting you for sport, bitch.
It killed Luke.
It was attacking their robot horses.
It kills the shit out of
her horse was regular.
The werewolf like tears Luke to pieces.
I really wish that werewolf had come back. It looks cool.
Yeah, it was gigantic.
Bye guys.
Yeah.
So she shoots the dinosaur a bunch.
Yeah.
It's dead. Oh, but psych, it's not actually dead. It's a zombie dinosaur. It rears its ugly head, and despite being like a Brontosaurus plant eater, is like, screw your horse. I'm gonna like, I guess I was it were we supposed to imply that it was like a vampire dinosaur because it went for the jugular of her horse?
I think it was just a mutant.
I think it was just a monster and it tried to eat the horse.
Because we saw like a whole hallway of like nightmare mutants.
Yeah, but this looked like a dinosaur.
Yeah.
I mean, if you roll the dice enough, you're going to get something that... You're going to become a mutant that looks like something that already just bugger has mutant powers.
Sure, okay. So,
like, I'm a regular chimpanzee, but my insides are mega buggerflies.
Yeah, okay.
Well, so, as we pointed out at the time, all of its brains were in its butt, so that when it got its head blown half off, it was still fine.
Yeah, right, but that's exactly. Also regular dinosaurs. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
It rears its not actually dead head back to life and eats her horse.
But then there's always a bigger fish.
It bites the horse.
Sorry, it bites the horse to death.
Almost. It's dying, and then the werewolf
And then a werewolf, just a werewolf the size of the Hulk shows up. Uh-huh. And it's just like, rawr! And
eats its blood everywhere.
Yeah, finishes eating the horse.
And delicately plucks off her necklace.
Gently, in the way that one might delicately pick a flower, breaks the cross necklace on Doris's neck.
He doesn't like hurting women.
Apparently.
That's his backstory.
I guess she, which she's wearing, to protect her from the vampires.
I guess it's never like there's never
that,
a scene
I mean,
where they
that has to be.
It has, but they've got crosses everywhere to ward these suckers off. Like,
I mean,
it has to be the reason
they
she's wearing it.
They have crosses everywhere. We never see any of them actually ward anything off.
No, we see that. The vampire comes to fuck her up, and they have the non-vampire cut her down with a blade boomerang.
I'm not saying that you can't make that assumption, and it wouldn't be reasonable. I'm just saying that the movie never tells us, like, yeah, in this world, crosses
stop
vampires.
Because we're not stupid. We can figure that out from the implication.
It says that when they're like, and they when D is like, they bring werewolves along to destroy all the crosses for them.
Maybe. Yeah, I might have missed that line.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Tell, don't show.
Yes. Well, but then they immediately show the werewolf breaking all the crosses.
Anyway.
With his boomerang.
He wasn't even a werewolf.
Wait.
He wanted, because I can't.
Are you talking about the mutant guy with the space powers?
He was just a regular
werewolf.
We're getting ahead of ourselves.
They did also hire the werewolf at the beginning, but that guy wasn't a werewolf.
I thought he was a werewolf too.
Werewolf.
When did he ever become a werewolf?
Anyway.
Okay.
Werewolf rips off the necklace.
Yeah.
Sure.
And then the old man from Up as a vampire shows up. And he bites
grandpa.
The girl.
He also looks like a cartel godfather.
He turns into a mushroom.
Yeah. Some funky lightning happens, and then it hard cuts to the next scene, and we eventually learn later that, it turns out after that hard cut happened...
He bit the girl.
He bit the girl. There are so many hard cuts in this movie.
Constantly,
It's like... And because it's only 80 minutes, it feels like someone wrote down what needs to happen.
Yeah, it's just a check. It's like, we did that. Now we'll do this.
The vampire hunter D is
here. D spends 20 minutes walking into town.
He walks into town, then he's going to go talk to this guy, then he's going to go sharpen a sword, and then he's going to go this way, or whatever. But instead of showing that like the way a movie would, it's like... D walking into town. Okay, cool. Hard cut. D talking to someone. Hard cut. D sharpening his sword. Hard cut. He's now over here instead.
Yeah.
It's just it's like they took the storyboard and then just animated it and didn't do anything in between that wasn't part of the storyboard.
I would be very curious to know like what their limitations on what they felt they could animate was. Because, I mean, this from the art style, this like I brought up Fist of the North Star a couple times, but this looks exactly to me like a Fist of the North Star episode. And so I'm wondering if like the same studio did it or
except
what.
Except there's a lot stretchier boys here, like a bunch of elongated people, whereas in Fist of the North Star, they're very wide boys.
That's true.
With bold lines.
But like a lot of the violence, a lot of the way the blood works, all of that, it looks like it's done by the same studio to me. But it does do that very like, okay, we don't really know what direction is or how to do it. So here's this thing happening. Here's this thing happening. Here's this thing happening. Oh, they're talking now.
You think in the 80s it was like they couldn't get away with full-size nipples or if that was just the style? Like the perfect woman was a tiny nippled woman.
I think that was just the style. I think that's what they just thought was a good idea.
So going back to what happens in the movie, after a hard cuts away from her getting bit by the vampire, she's waiting in the road for... Vampire Hunter D.
Right.
How would you describe how Vampire Hunter D looks like?
He looks like a guy in a giant cloak with a giant sword with a giant hat, and he rides a mechanical horse.
I, for some reason, when I think back at him, I can only, like, my brain only says the words Carmen Sandiego.
Also true.
Yeah. Yeah. No, like, if Carmen Sandiego wore black instead of red, it's pretty close to that. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever see the Daft Punk Discovery music videos?
Uh-uh.
It's kind of like that, but with the old Final Fantasy cover art style, where they're all, like, really effeminate, pointy things.
Yeah.
That's pretty accurate.
Doris finds D.
Which I have questions about. Like, she acts like, okay, this guy walks down this road every single day, when clearly that's not the case. She's just like, oh, Vampire Hunter D, the person I was here waiting for.
Well,
for
no,
some
she
reason.
Was waiting for a hunter.
Yeah.
And then she's like, you're more than just a hunter. You're a vampire hunter?
She saw a sword. She saw a sword because she says repeatedly, she's like, is that.
Give me that sword. Like,
is that sword actually for killing vampires, or are you just a pansy ass punk?
Maybe.
And then yeah, I'm going to whip you and find out.
Then her whip has whips that come out of it.
That's right. And then.
And that will never come
D,
up again.
And then D resists her whips with the power of willpower.
Stoicism.
Yeah.
Was her brother's name Doug? Am I remembering that right?
Maybe? Doug? Denny? Din?
I'm just starting to realize that all of the main characters' names start with D. And I'm thinking there's got to be a
Dan.
Reason for
I
that.
I think it's Dan.
Yeah, Dan.
That's it, yeah.
Now the that. Will of D.
Yeah, exactly.
And then,
like, Dorothy's getting treated like trash once
Dorothy.
She gets back to yeah. the Dorothy. Village.
Well, I want to touch real quick before she gets back to the village. She hires D to kill the vampire lord that infected her, right?
Right.
To Count Lee.
To stop her from becoming a vampire.
Yes. But that's almost all they say about it. Like, there's no time frame.
Mm-hmm.
No, until the woman moon.
No, mm-hmm. the woman
no, that
moon
was like the next night.
Yeah, the woman moon is the next night, and that he's just like, oh, they won't want to eat you then, so they'll probably come before then. There's no time frame that they give as far as like how long he has to kill the count before she turns into a vampire, and we never see her like slowly starting to turn, and oh man, is racing against the clock.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like,
and honestly,
he'll get around to it.
Her vampire bite also kind of stopped showing up pretty quick.
Yeah,
exactly.
I thought it was just like him calling dibs on her more than actually giving her like the virus or whatever. Yeah.
Right, right.
Like if another vampire saw, oh, this is a noble's bite.
It's weird because like that's what it says in the synopsis of what he's trying to do. That's what she explicitly asks him to do. Mm-hmm. You think that's what he's going to do when he goes there, but he just ends up like they've somehow captured her and he saves her again and then walks away. And it seems like he might just like, okay, you're safe now. I guess I'm going to peace out. But then they steal her again. So like it's just this weird collection of events where
dang it,
none
Peach.
Of this seems to be uh-huh. driven by anything
like
that
they
the
forgot
main doing.
What their plan was and they're just kind of like, now you stick around and fight some stuff.
Exactly. It's this entire movie is an excuse for fight scenes.
Yeah.
And they're not,
and not good
even,
fight scenes.
They're not even that great of fight scenes. No.
Well, that's when the werewolf and the vampire chick show up together and we get introduced to weird blade bow guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, boomerang.
Yeah, it looks like a bow. But
well, I mean, what is a boomerang if not a
blade
small bow?
Blade bow boomerang.
He never bows it, though.
It's pre-bowed.
This is the thing
he
about this guy.
He hasn't earned his string
when
yet.
When D stabs him during their fight, it turns out that he can like manipulate space and time, and so D has actually
but only
stabbed
once
himself.
In his entire right. life.
And then he never
comes
brings
up.
It up again. Exactly. Like, he defeats the main character this way, and the main character just like fights him a couple more times,
yeah.
and it never comes up again. It's not like, oh, here's the rival of the movie, the person that he's going to actually have to face to defeat and find some clever way to beat.
I can only assume because he tried the power once. He saw that his wound healed, and he's like, this power is shit. I'm never using it again on this guy.
I guess.
But my blade bow boomerang.
I mean,
that'll get him.
I paid a lot of money for my blade bow boomerang.
This is the thing. He fights D and stabs him in the chest, and like D heals himself from that. And then later, he fights D again, and he beats him by stabbing him a whole bunch.
After
so
using
think,
the time transcendence, time ceasing
the
sensor.
Time bewitching sensor.
Time bewitching sensor.
Which has
does
nothing to do
to
with
do,
time.
It's a rough translation.
Apparently. It's got to be something like that because it's called that. What it actually does is just
it's just
hurt vampires.
Yes. Yeah, it's just, super sunlight.
It's off spray for vampires.
Exactly. It should be the sensor of sunlight or something like that.
Well, right now we're glossing over the orgy scene with the vampire hydras.
Well,
those are Medusa's apparently.
Okay, yeah, we also didn't talk about. So We're jumping all over the place.
Like they did.
Like they do. But we also, so along with, what's his name? Ray, I think, is the boomerang guy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Ray is, along with him is Countess Fivehead.
Right.
Yeah.
who is the daughter of the main vampire.
Yeah, she's the daughter Doris. Of Count Lee.
I was just going to not mention her because her character kind of didn't matter.
She is there to be racist. That's her character.
She's racist against humans and also against Dampiers, which...
are what mixed blood.
D is.
Yeah, they're humans. They're half human, half vampires.
Right. But she really should be examining herself in the mirror before she's racist towards anyone, especially because...
Fivehead is not a race. It's just a horrible aesthetic.
It looks like one. She's got enough room. Like, you could take out advertising space on that forehead.
She looks like a sentient potato. Like, that's the best I can describe this character. It looks like you drew some eyes and, like, gave the hint of a nose to a potato.
But with whoever animated this, they did this intentionally because every single time that she is drawn, her eyes... are in the middle of her face.
Yeah.
Not the top third, the middle, or the bottom third. They only get lower.
Exactly.
Which, eyes are kind of in the middle of the face. It's just that normally people have hair that kind of, you know, it prevents it from looking like the eyes are in the middle of the face. You kind of assume that they're in the, like, the top third, right?
Yeah. I think it's close to that.
Depends on whether or not, like, you got bangs.
3/5 up your face.
She should have had enough hair where she did not look like she had Neanderthal blood.
She had a ponytail down to her ass. She just had it pulled back in, like, weird reverse mullet.
And apparently a receding hairline to go along with that.
Yeah, she had Vegeta head.
Oh my gosh. To be a vampire.
The thing about this character is that her arc is supposed to be, okay, she's racist, and then later finds out that she is actually a vampire like D is, and have some kind of revelation. But really, she's just kind of there to be bitchy the entire movie.
Yep.
But she helps regular girl.
Yeah.
Doris.
I guess.
After almost killing her earlier.
Several times, yeah.
And then even after she helps her once, she's still, like, super pissed and is like, Dad, no, don't let Doris be your wife. Like,
marry me.
She's a mudblood.
And he's just like, nah, you know what's real fun? Banging some commoner ladies.
Yeah, every 50 or 100 years, you just got to go out and fuck dirt.
Her dad is just like, all right, you descended from dirt, trash, scum of the earth. I banged your mom. She was a common lady. It's just fun to fuck around for a little bit.
Did you think that you were also just a full vampire? That's ridiculous.
You're but crazy. She has the pride of a full vampire.
With that forehead of yours?
Oh my gosh.
Then he just uses his bubble beam to put her into a coma.
Yeah. He has a lot of good eye powers.
He does. That's most of what he does, is stand there and stare at things menacingly.
That's how you make a really powerful character, when they don't have to move.
The Count Lee, the head vampire of this movie.
I hate that vampire name.
Lee.
Yeah.
It's Lee and D.
It's
terrible. Yeah, okay, whatever.
But his powers actually seem threatening in this movie. Even Vampire Hunter D, his powers aren't really that impressive.
He's, like, basically a really good swordsman who can, like, create a black hole in his face hand.
That he never uses. Swordsman?
Ever.
Is he that good of a swordsman, really, though?
I mean, he's like catching blade boomerangs out of air. He's better than anyone else
here. Name one better swordsman in this movie.
There aren't any other swordsmen
in the post-apocalyptic world. He is the best swordsman.
By default, he is the only one with a sword.
Closest is Boomerang Boy.
So a character we haven't mentioned yet is this blonde, horny dude that is constantly walking around.
Do you know what his name is?
No, blonde, horny dude.
Give me a second.
I want to see if you can remember. It's a terrible name.
Something Kruh?
His name is Greco Roman.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's a good ass name.
That's a terrible name.
That's funny. That's a funny name.
Greco Roman is this character that we meet initially in the village when D is kind of passing through, like heading towards, I guess, the girl's home to do stuff. But he is there to be this weird horny presence. And later in the movie, he's, like, tricked the space-time-warping mutant guy into thinking he has this powerful sensor of vampire...
Bewitching.
Bewitching. Yeah. And, like, he actually has it himself. And so he betrays the guy, shows up later, like, haha, I have the real thing.
Is it a betrayal if, like, you were never on their side?
I don't No.
You thought I was a shitty human being who was only going to help you if I thought I was going to get some pussy. But it turns out that I was a shitty human being who's only helping you because I think I can get some pussy.
But he never helped anyone. He watched him through a security camera and gave the old swaparoo gringo style.
Exactly. He did the swap to betray the guy. And then he gets thrown off a cliff when, like, it, like,
well, no, that but then he shows really up fast. And he saves Doris. And then he's like, hey, I saved you, Doris. Now you're going to be my girl.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, no, I don't want to be your girl. And he's like, yeah, I could just leave and let you die. How do you feel about that, Doris?
Does he just leave then? Because no. I can't remember what happens.
No, he doesn't
the
get
movie.
The chance to leave.
Does he get killed?
That's no, when, no that's brother when the brother shoots him. At him. No, and yeah. He falls faster
shoots
than, like, 10 times gravity.
Oh, I meant after that. Okay, so yeah, he gets shot and then falls down a cliff. And
he's
we
fine.
Think,
no, he
we
runs
think
into
that's
Ray.
The laugh we're going to see of him, right? Because it looks like a death scene for this shitty human being. No, later we just get a scene of him, like, walking down the road, like, oh, at least I still have this sensor. Yeah. I'm really glad I do. And then the guy who, like, he stole it, for, like, he betrayed, like, steals it from him.
Ray,
that guy kill him?
Boomerang Boy, yeah.
Boomerang Boy steals it back. Does he kill him at that point?
He does, but it happens off screen.
That's why I can't remember. Yeah. You would think that this character who, like, has a name, has a character, would get a bloody death scene.
Yeah, but he's, like, kind of rapey.
This entire movie is so perfunctory with everything that it does that it's just like it's hard to remember the order of events and why they matter because it's just like, well, and then this happened and then this happened.
Because even think about it, like the spot where the final culmination of the movie should happen, the castle with Count Lee and Doris being there and then Dee should rush in and save her, happens halfway through the movie and then he saves her and takes her home. And then she gets captured again.
Yeah.
And taken back to the castle again.
Right.
And then Dee has to rush in and save her again. So yeah. it like none it of which lets has, the wind out of its own sails.
None of which has anything to do with the presumed time limit that this girl has on herself to not turn into a vampire.
Nothing it's, whatsoever.
It's literally just, oh, you're going to do the wedding ceremony now? Well, I guess that's the most important time to like stop all of this. So we're going to. And then it happens.
Yeah. It's weird. Someone kind of brought it up, talking about the witches of Midwich, which are the
Medusas,
the snake titty women,
the snake titty women.
And the first time that Doris gets captured and taken to the castle, Count Lee is like, "I'm gonna marry you tomorrow, so you know, get a good night's rest or whatever." And
there's gonna be lots.
By the way, you think that Dee is coming to save you? Well, check it out. He's maybe getting strangled to death, maybe like giving these three snake women the absolute time of their lives. It's hard to tell from the way
because
we've animated
it. Because he's basically a Ken doll, right? He's just standing perfectly still with his arms to his side.
Completely clothed, and still cloaked.
And these three, so it's like three siren women who've snuck up on him and they're like, oh, we're the sisters three. And
what was their like game there? Because they're basically like,
they're witches.
They're playing their harp, and then he's like, who are you? And he's like, who are we? Snakes! Like, what?
That's it!
They didn't try to trick him.
Nope, they're just like, I think the trick was, oh, we're sexy. Actually, we're snakes, bitch.
Yeah, but they turn sexy again when they're like trying to eat him.
Well,
and
just the head turns
Yeah,
back.
Just the head.
Well, okay.
Because they're feeling really good, and you
they're
can't feel good as a
snake. Writhing around him while he's perfectly stoic and stationary, and they're like, their faces are blushing.
Because it's
overwhelming us.
Because as they're snakes, they tangle them up, they wrap around him, and they're like, oh, it's been so long since we've tasted man flesh. You're going to be great. And then they're like, oh, man, they're going to bite him. They're going to eat him. They're going to do something. He's going to have to fight his way out. Yeah. Then it cuts away, and we get the whole scene with Doris and Count Lee and everything like that. And then Count Lee like shows her a vision screen of what's happening to Dee and the snake ladies. And it implies that he's just banging them to high heaven, like,
but
they're
he's clearly not banging.
He's clearly not, because he's standing still, but all three of the snake women too, they've got their O faces on.
I thought he was
like,
giving like an aura of fuck
after the
I don't know, because they're just like, how many times can he make us come?
Maybe it's a play on snakes and how they kind of wrap
tangle
up
the
into
fuck.
Orgies.
Take his pants off
a
little. Give me something.
I don't know how he's doing this to them, but
I mean, he has a face on his hand. He might have dicks on his knees.
That's one of his Dampier powers. He just, like, his eyes glow blue, and everyone in a 30-foot radius starts coming.
That sounds like a vampire.
He could just relocate his penis to any part of his body.
Yeah.
And make more. At least three.
It makes no sense.
But this is when we're introduced to his superpower.
Right, which is eyes glow blue.
Turn blue.
Grow fangs.
He has fangs, and we're like, oh shit, he's part vampire. And then
he bites the shit out of all three of these.
He bites their neck
things.
In half.
Yeah. He bites their neck, and it's a clean cut, apparently. And they all just fall down dead in a erupting geyser of blood.
Why don't we talk about his face hand? Hand face.
Yes. Yeah, Brian, go ahead. Start us off with that.
So you've been hearing the whisper the whole time, but
he was talking to his sword at first.
Yes,
I
did too. Like it's a cursed sword. But apparently, they don't really touch on this if it's part of being a Dampier. He was like cursing like the backstory or something. But he has a face on his hand that isn't even a bad guy. It's just like, I'm going to make a weird time joke now. You need my power.
It's like he has a jester, but it's just, or a foil, but it's just attached to his hand and also is a vacuum cleaner.
But apparently the hand totally cares about him because when he's on death's door, the hand gets cut off and it like crawls back over, eats some dirt to activate its wind tunnel powers and starts beating on his heart to wake him up.
I feel like that's an interesting enough scene that we should explain it in more detail.
Yes,
we should.
Go ahead.
So fast forward a bit, the weird time sensor doohickey shows up for, I think it's the last time.
Yeah.
So it breaks later on.
This is when Ray, Boomerang dude, shows he's killed.
Boomerang, if you will.
Yeah, Boomerang. Boomerang has killed Greco-Roman, stolen the magic vampire stopping sensor.
Right.
And he shows back up.
And that's when D gets paralyzed by it. And then we have this weird ass pseudo death scene where he takes a stake and drives it through D's chest. And then you're like, despite being laying flat on his back, he just like stands upright. In
an acute
an absolute,
angle.
Yes.
It's like a Michael Jackson dance move.
Yes.
He just like raises himself up.
I think his ankles are the only thing touching the ground. His toes are peaked up. And a geyser of blood erupts out of his chest. And he falls flat on his back. And he's like, oh no, he's dead.
Yeah.
And because Ray is pissed off because his hand got cut off, he uses his weird blade boomerang thing and slices off D's hand, and then he just leaves.
Yeah. Assuming he's dead, I guess.
And Brian, go into more detail with how the hand, like, take it from there.
So the hand was in a fist the whole time, so we don't see the face. Did we see the face before this?
Like once or twice.
He used the suction running away from the castle, right?
Yeah.
Well, and Boomerang cuts off D's hand as revenge for D cutting off Boomerang's hand in an earlier fight.
Yeah, yeah. So it's a closed fist on the ground, but then it starts wiggling, opens up, and you see the face. Starts crawling across the ground.
Because this is the debodied hand at this point.
Right. Yeah.
It's just by itself.
Hand boggy D. It crawls back, and this another cutaway happens. I can't remember what happens during the cutaway.
Well, there's monsters that are on the horizon.
Yeah,
he's like, I've got to get back.
The ketchup cloud.
Yeah, the weird mist of eating shit.
It, like,
the meat cloud.
Eats a hentai tentacle monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The hand makes it back to the body, reattaches, eats two fistfuls of dirt, which is the prerequisite for this spell ability.
Apparently.
Does a vacuum into the air just to show that it's awake, like, I feel better now. And then just starts beating on D's chest to wake him up while the ketchup's getting closer.
Exactly. Then D just, like, cuts the ketchup in half with a sword.
Well, the ketchup reaches him and hurts him enough to be like, I'm awake, wakes up, hits it. It turns into, like, 50 pounds of ground beef for some reason. Because that's what clouds of red mist turn into.
Okay, while you guys were explaining this, I looked up the origin of this thing. Let me read this origin that is on the Vampire Hunter D wiki.
Yeah.
Nothing is known of Left Hand's past other than that he did serve the sacred ancestor at some point before joining D. So apparently it's not his hand. It's some other dude's hand
creature
or something. Yeah.
Okay, it's like Evil Dead.
The nature of this being is unknown. Mashira is stated to be the last to be of his kind, which implies that there are more of him and he is a species of Left Hands.
Other than that,
there is nothing known about how he was born or when exactly he joined with D. He seems to know the Crystal Palace language, a language that is known to those only who lived 10,000 years ago. This would place his age to be at least 10,000 years old. So all we know is D has a left hand that is older than 10,000 years old, and it does magic shit for no reason.
And world building. Delicious.
And this is not something that the movie explains at all.
Nope.
Wiki doesn't explain it, then obviously nothing explains it.
No. There are like manga of this.
Yeah.
Right? The movie doesn't explain this at all, but there is something about his powers and abilities. Apparently, if the hand consumes one of the four elements, it can do something with it.
Okay.
So if it eats enough...
It's Yoshi.
If it eats enough earth, it can revive D, even if he was killed by, like, traditional vampire killing methods. If it eats enough water, it can freeze objects solid by touching or breathing on them. If he eats fire, he can...
Breathe fire.
He can breathe fire, yeah. And if he eats air, he can propel objects at high speeds.
Okay, that's cool. Enough.
So Earth definitely seems the strongest of those.
Yeah, it does seem kind of broken. It seems like he would just eat a whole bunch of Earth now, like at any time. That way, just he's got it one up in the tank.
Now, that being said, the movie explains none of this, so all we see is this hand crawl its way across the ground, reattach itself to D, and then just start munching on dirt until... D is back and it's good to go. And it's weird. It's incredibly weird.
Extremely. I wonder if there was like a TV show of this or something that like if we'd seen some episodes of, we'd understand what's going on.
That's the only thing I can figure that it's like there's manga or an old show of it. Because it'd be like if we watched one of the Dragon Ball Z movies and never watched any of it or read the manga, it'd be like, why does he have a monkey tail?
Yeah, exactly. Why is he a weremonkey?
Yeah.
It's weird. It rezzes D. So now D can rush off to the castle to stop the marriage from going through.
Which, I think this is where Doris gets kidnapped again.
Doris has been kidnapped again, and at this point, Boomeray is pissed because vampire Lord Lee has promised to make him a vampire so that he'll be young and youthful forever.
Right. But he's failed multiple times, so now he's on the shit list.
I feel like Lee is just a dick and it was like would have said this.
Also,
no matter
yes,
what.
But yeah. He's also on the shit list.
Right. He's failed multiple times, so he's like, you can become a vampire in 50 years.
I like Boomeray's attack on Count Lee, though, because we get a little taste of what Count Lee's powers are when he's not even trying.
Right.
Because we see him use his telekinesis and just like
ragdoll his ass across the room.
The room.
So Lee runs up with the time bewitching sensor that for some
reason. The one that we've already seen work really well against D.
Right.
Yeah. So we're like, oh man, it's powerful because we know, you know, D's the main hero.
Exactly.
It's got to be powerful.
It's got to be powerful. But this guy's just like, you think that little piece of crap would work on me? And instantly shatters it with his brain and then just flings this guy around like he's a telekinetic, like superhuman thing.
Yeah.
Like smashes him against a wall and then crushes his entire head until it explodes.
Well, I wouldn't say crushes it. Like he makes it into popcorn.
Yeah. Boomeray is dead.
Right.
And like
presumably. We don't know his backstory.
Telekinetically squished up against the wall but not falling down.
I also like this though because it kind of makes Boomeray the best character in the movie because he's the only one with like a real understandable arc of like, I've sacrificed so much for you so now I'm going to betray you.
Yeah.
It's a fun moment, I think. And it's a fun comeuppance for a character that's been kind of a dick to our main hero the entire time.
Yeah.
So after they go to the wedding and D shows up and is like, I've got vampire powers too. And they shoot them at each other and D wins.
They fight. Well, it's not just that D wins. They fight back and forth until like they stab each other. But then Count Lee looks at D and then looks at a painting on the wall. And
then back at D and then back at the painting.
Dracula's son. Oh no.
Right. Essentially. That's the implication. It's never stated that's what it is.
The great implication.
Yeah.
It's implied.
What I like about this scene is that the reason that Lee was waiting was he was having all these cloaks made for his carnival of horrors that are his subjects.
Yeah.
Because it's the only reason I can think that he wasn't just like the night that he initially had or like, all right, let's get married now.
I mean, that's just ceremony.
He
you
just
can't
had to
marry
wait.
Marry on the same day.
He had to wait for the guests to arrive.
I just think it's funny that he's taking a wife because at this point he's already said like, hey man, I'm just going to ditch her when I get tired of her.
Just because
I just like screwing around.
He will
with the
not
moral
have
women.
Marriage out of wedlock.
Exactly.
He won't have marriage out of wedlock.
Wait a minute. Yes.
Look, just because he devours the innocent, murders people casually out of hand, goes back on his deals, doesn't mean he's going to have sex with a unwedded woman.
He was raised with traditional values, damn it.
Right, exactly.
Whose deal did he go back on?
The guy that he was like, I'm going to turn you into a vampire. Dude's like, you said you'd turn me into a vampire. And he's like, well, you'll have to wait 50 years.
We never heard that deal except for from Boomerang.
We didn't get the details of it, but like we...
And he didn't hold up his part of the bargain. He was Shiggy twice.
Well, no, he did kill D, at least as far as he knew. So
yeah,
like,
but he lost did it twice before that.
It doesn't matter if you lose twice as long as you win the third time.
He brought dishonor to the Great Lee name.
Yeah, especially if the deal they struck was that he wouldn't fail the first two times.
Well, if Lee's daughter had pulled her weight, he wouldn't have failed the first two times.
Oh, yeah. Princess Fivehead.
Just worthless.
Doing jack all. She's complaining, and then she comes and... we didn't even talk about how Doris gets captured and brought back to the castle the second time.
That's because it's just like... a thing that happens off screen mostly.
Well, so her friend, the doctor, who's her surrogate father, essentially, he's like, oh, I found us a place where you'll be safe. You don't worry. The vampires will be able to find you here. Mm-hmm. And then halfway
she's like,
up the mountain.
Okay.
And then halfway up the mountain, he's like, ha-ha, psych, I'm a vampire.
I was actually starting to believe that, like, maybe this is so retro that they don't have heel turns yet. So he's actually
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, he's just like in a really precarious situation, but is actually a good guy.
I want to know why. So he turns into a vampire, right? Yeah. He grows his fangs and he's like, haha, I'm a villain. And then
I wanted to fuck you for years because I'm evil now.
And then he scratches off her necklace and pops out a titty. And then...
As is customary.
Why was he able to scratch off the necklace? Because if he's a vampire, it's still a cross necklace.
Thing.
It should still
again,
have the same effect.
They never say crosses do this to vampires.
But they consistently cut off the cross.
It's just tradition.
Maybe it's just a symbolic thing of like, hey, this looks cool. Or like, we know
it
that vampires...
It is implied.
Clearly not, because this guy just swipes it off her titty.
It's an inconsistency. I'm not saying that the vampires aren't affected by it.
Maybe
I'm
he's not
this.
A real vampire. Maybe he's whatever vampire servants are called.
Thralls.
Yeah, maybe he's a thrall and it doesn't count for them.
I mean, he looks like a vampire and he acts like a vampire. I think the cross thing just isn't the thing that you're thinking
it
is.
At one point in the movie, D is like, oh, the crosses and garlic have no effect on the werewolves, implying that they've got an effect on something else.
Yes.
Maybe the crosses and the garlic has an effect on the zombie dinosaurs.
I hate you. You know that? You know exactly what they have an effect on. He's not like...
All of the vampires except the one vampire we see interact with a cross. You're right. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. And that's because he was a doctor. He was learned. And,
He didn't have the faith for the vampire.
He wasn't superstitious enough.
That's why he's the perfect vampire.
It's not your faith that affects the vampires. The vampire's faith and the cross's effects.
Yeah. It's all placebo effect. It's all placebo effect. Vampires from generations have been told, stay away from crosses and garlic. And so they just believe it.
It only works on Christian vampires.
Oh, right. Gosh.
If you've been born again as a vampire, then you're fine. You're going to be affected by it.
Oh, my gosh. And so a creepy old man vampire is going to try and kill her. And that's when...
Well, I don't think he's going to try and kill her. He's going to try and do stuff to her.
He's
going to
try and do something. And that's when Greco-Roman... That's when Fivehead kicks him off the thing. Princess Fivehead shows up.
And he becomes good for like the last couple seconds. Yeah.
She stabs him and throws him off the edge. And like a Reading Rainbow-esque like chime plays. Uh-huh. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry.
Freed my soul.
I didn't mean what I said when I said I wanted to fucking...
Dumbledore,
the best
I'm sorry.
Part of that is like the space of time that it all happens in. Because this guy gets a heel turn, says he's going to bang this girl, rips out a titty,
like
gets murdered
long.
And thrown off the cliff. And is like, oh, I regret all of my terrible actions that I took in the last 30 seconds.
And then Princess Fivehead's like, all right, now I'm going to take you to the castle.
Other question. Yeah. So completely normal dude also gets thrown off of this cliff. Greco-Roman, that guy. He gets thrown off this cliff. He's fine. He's
he
just
didn't
got
get
his
stabbed
torn
through the heart.
Yeah, he didn't get stabbed
Fivehead stabbed Doctor through the heart.
Okay.
One of her like special
needle
magic
things.
Needle things. Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. I was going to say, like, why does getting thrown off of a cliff hurt this vampire? Is he now, is the cross thing that, is there a bunch of crosses at the bottom of the ravine?
Oh, crosses don't work on him, Rick, remember?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You've got to have a lot of them at the bottom of a ravine. It's very specific.
He had microdosed crosses earlier, so he was fine with small ones, but, And then, okay, so that happens. Fast forward through all the stuff we already said. D comes and saves her. And then as he kills Count Lee... apparently it was Count Lee's willpower that was keeping this castle alive.
As is tradition with Japanese vampires. Right. That's what happens in every Castlevania game,
it's
too.
It's also, well, I'm thinking more Metroid, where you've beaten the mother brain, and now all of a sudden the whole place is slowly falling apart.
Yeah. Everyone knows that in an 80s movie, the villain is load-bearing in any castle that he's in.
So you're not wrong.
Taking him out just means that castle going down.
Telekinesis was holding him up. But apparently this vampire lord, Count Lee, was also the one, like, responsible for maintaining the status of post-apocalypse.
Right.
Because as soon as he's dead, like,
the trees come back to life, everything turns green, there's a weird, like,
I can't tell,
there's 100 horses now.
It doesn't show which direction time's going. It's just time is going really fast as this castle's dying.
Yeah.
Well, time's going a direction.
The frame rate's really bad, so it's kind of like when a tire's going at that exact speed
to where it looks like it's on camera, moving slowly backwards.
Yeah. Well, but the issue is that
Doesn't seem to be affecting, like the girl doesn't get old or anything.
None of the characters are different.
Yeah.
That's my point.
It's the age of the world, not the people.
Doris and Dan don't change age whatsoever, but we've seen, like, it's like, oh, the sun and moon are rising and falling, and they go really fast. And then the stars flicker.
The evil smoke is all getting sucked into that crevasse. I mean,
the black spaghetti.
The black spaghetti.
Mom spaghetti. And the time has clearly changed, and the horses are alive, and trees exist again, and the sun came
There's
out.
There's a good creek.
And then Vampire Hunter D rides away for like 20 minutes.
The longest scene we get in this movie without a hard cut to something else is Vampire Hunter D riding off into the...
appreciating nature.
And it really is. It's like Vampire Hunter D was the descendant of Dracula, but somehow like the ancestor of David Attenborough. Because he's just like traveling the globe as he's riding into the sun.
Well, because the whole time he's saying like you're a transient guest and you're not supposed to stay on Earth to the vampires.
Yeah, he's...
So I'm guessing we fixed like Chicago with this vampire, so now he has to go to like...
New York and fix them. Yeah.
He's traveling the world because he's like, oh, he's riding off into the sunset in this forest and field area and then in this desert area and now up at the top of a mountain.
I guess it's just being like a really Vampire good robot. We'll have some other adventures in these other places.
Next time on Vampire Hunter D.
More short skirts and tiny nipples.
Oh, gosh. It's a weird one.
Yeah.
It's a real weird one. Yep. All right, we're going to start our final thoughts. I'm going to go first, and we're going to work our way around to Caleb. Caleb, you'll go last since this was your choice. This movie was fun. No, this is a good bad movie, in my opinion. Okay. It's not a good movie. There are fun elements to it, but overall, like, story-wise and pacing and, like... Just, I mean, we joked about it repeatedly, but just how often they just hard cut from something happening.
Like, they're completely out of time sometimes.
Yeah, even though it's a short movie.
Yeah.
This is a good, bad movie. This is a bad movie that I would watch again in the right circumstances. I enjoyed watching this with you guys. If I was watching it by myself, I definitely would have turned it off.
About 2 minutes in, yeah.
My favorite part of this movie is... trying to pick something not ironic, but genuine. My favorite part of the movie is the powers and how strong Count Lee seems. I hate the name for the villain. Like, that's a stupid vampire name. But I like his abilities, and I like that he seems like a threat where the other villains, like Boomeray.
Yeah.
Boomeray feels like a Sailor Moon Monster of the Week. He does not seem like a valid
But he also
threat.
Feels like he would exist in the post-apocalypse.
Yes.
Like, you've got a Blake Boomerang. That's post-apocalypse. He's got, like, a David Bowie look with, like,
but
mascara.
But he is not a good enough counter to the son of Dracula.
No.
And I like Count Lee. I think that his abilities, and even though the final fight between him and Dee is very short, I still think it's neat. My least favorite part of the movie is... Man, I don't know. Because even the stuff that I didn't like in the movie, I like ironically because it's bad and it's fun to joke about. I guess the weird snake witches and the weird snake orgy they have with Dee.
I want to be more implied that they're actually fucking other than just telling me that
maybe
they're
fucking. Maybe it would be better if that was the case. But as it is, it just feels pretty out of left field and also like completely inconsequential. Like, nothing, if they had nothing that happens there matters. The only thing that we see there is, oh, he's got vampire powers, but they could have just as easily done it later in the movie. And right. when they do it later in the movie, it's still treated as a reveal because the characters around him are like, oh, he's got vampire powers.
Right, right? Yeah.
So, like, the weird snake lady is just, they're kind of lame. Overall, though, I had a good time watching it. And I would give this movie experience 3 vampire D's out of 5.
I think this movie is trash.
Yeah, definitely.
It is not that fun to watch. Like, I think even if you were a huge Vampire Hunter D fan, this is probably not the particular part of the property that you're super into.
You know what else helps it is that it's such a short movie.
That's true. That does help it a lot. At the same time, this is not the only Vampire Hunter D thing that I've seen. What I've seen was another Vampire Hunter D
the
adaptation.
2000.
I'm guessing it was that one. Like, it feels, my memory is that the art style would have been from around then.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I remember being a lot more fun, a lot more interesting, and had a lot more character to it. My favorite part of this movie in particular is the one character that I think has a lot of character, and that's Boomeray. He has at least an interesting drive behind him. His motivations make sense. I understand why he does what he does. And I think he's fun and gets a fun end and one of the best gory deaths of the entire movie.
Yeah.
And I really think that if this movie had more like over-the-top gore, over-the-top everything, it would have been a lot more fun. But my least favorite part about the entire thing is how perfunctory every single piece of it feels. It feels like they're doing it from a checklist, like we said. And that leads to the entire thing being hard to pay attention to. So because of that, it just wasn't that fun for me, even though it was fun to make fun of it while we were watching it. I just wish it had taken the elements that it had and cranked it to way more over the top, and that would have been so much more interesting to me. My final rating is going to be 1 out of 5 D's nuts, because this movie is not fun. Brian?
So with animation, you usually have like a standard 3 steps. You have storyboard, you have animagic, which is basically like a slightly animated storyboard,
the
and then
basic
you have
idea of it,
full
yeah.
animation.
Yeah,
sure.
And I feel like this stopped between animagic and full animation.
I can say
in what way? Because the actual like the animation itself,
the knee jerk like cuts to everything.
Sure.
Seemed like they didn't want to do the animation between then. The combat was like a lot of frames were covered up with flashes because it seemed like they didn't want to animate full movement.
Or at least they didn't have the budget to or the ability to.
Either way, they didn't do it.
Yeah.
And they also have like the tiny mouths that are kind of floating on a chin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the story also felt like it was still at the animatic point. Like, they were just like, okay, we did this scene, now move on to this scene. We're done with this scene, do that scene. Without any, like, filler in between to let us understand how point A got to point C all of a sudden. Favorite part of this movie is probably, I guess, just how 80s it is. Like, you don't really get this feel anymore. You don't get the exploding heads like this. The Akira and like Fist of the North Star style of like people's heads like getting fishy and weird eyed and then all of a sudden just
popping like a big balloon.
Yeah. Covering walls.
Yeah.
But I was also kind of bored with it. I don't know if it was from the animagic feel of it or just it wasn't my style or whatever, but I had trouble keeping interested. So I'm going to give it a 2 out of 5 Boomerays. Did anyone do Boomeray?
Nope. No one
did Boomerays.
All right.
There you go. Caleb, you picked it. Wrap us up. What did you think?
Well, I think that in my upbringing, I watched Hellsing, the animated series, not the OVA, which is a lot better, but sure, Hellsing, when I was like 13, and that was one of my first exposures to a full series of anime, start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that had a strong impact on me, and there was something about my conservative
or negatively
well, there was something about my conservative Christian upbringing that like my parents didn't want us to watch anything that like our movies,
sure,
and then there was this vampire content that has like the typical vampire lusty tones to it that usually aren't too explicit, and it was like, this is forbidden fruit, ooh, so to
speak. Yeah.
Oh, snake nipples. And sure hope mom doesn't come down and see me watching this.
I had a lot of fun watching that series, and I think as a result of that, that I developed a certain affinity for vampire content, kind of like.
Sure, that's fair, yeah.
And so as a result of that, this movie appeals to me, and my favorite part of it is probably Dee's character. Although the whole Alucard concept where, like, oh, he's actually Dracula's son, he's half vampire, it's not honestly all that unique, but for some reason, I get a lot of entertainment out of it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And so, for lack of a better word, I just like this whole concept.
Sure.
And I have fun with it.
Good.
The genre is right in your wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that you got what you wanted out of picking it then.
Under no circumstances would I say that this is a good movie, however.
Uh-huh.
But with that being said, like, when you watch something like a Ghibli film, it's really fun to watch well-executed animation, and it's so crisp and it's so clean and there's all these details, and this absolutely did not have that. No, but it kind of bookends, like, this is kind of the opposite side of the spectrum, where I don't think these styles of film were all that far apart from each other. And yet they bring very different things to the table. A Ghibli film is a bit more involved. It's a little more polished, but you can still have fun even if it's not quite as clean. Mm. But this is not a good movie. All the criticisms you guys have brought forth, I think, are fully valid. And I don't know. I still have fun with it.
Favorite and least favorite?
My favorite is Dee's character. My least favorite is probably the action scenes where
they leave a lot to be desired.
Is it because, like Brian was saying, like, they're just covered up with so much flashes and stuff like that?
That and just Dee's character, like, he has this big-ass sword, he's got this pointy-ass hat, and he's just not actually all that impressive. He keeps on resulting to the vampire teeth coming out, and not a whole lot happens even there.
That's fair. So
it's just kind of like, my eyes glowed, and then vampire magic.
And now I win.
Yeah.
So if this film had a little more polished animation to it, then I think that it would shine a lot more effectively. And also if they had, like Brian was saying, if they had worked a little harder on transitioning from scene to scene. So I think it could have been a lot better. But with that all being said, I would probably give it probably just 2.5.
2.5 meatball clouds out of 5. You know who else really likes vampire content? Your wife was telling us just how much she was an expert on all things about vampires. You know what, Rick? She knows vampires, okay? She's seen Twilight.
She's read Twilight. She has Twilight in my house, which I'm not comfortable
with.
What
more is there to know?
Vampire expert over here.
That's right. You know where you can find more vampire expertise.
I was going to say, you know where you can find more unqualified experts? Our podcast. You can find additional episodes of our podcast on our website, opinionatedpodcast.com. Additionally, we're on social media at OpinionCast on Twitter and Opinionated Podcast on Facebook. Feel free to reach out to us at our email address, opinionatedmoviereviews@gmail.com. We always love hearing from you guys, whether it's your thoughts on our episodes or suggestions for what we should watch in the future. If you get a chance, please leave us a rating on iTunes and follow us on Spotify. Between that and you sharing this with your friends, it's the best way we have of getting out to new listeners. We always appreciate you guys listening. And until next time,
we're opinionated.
Thanks for listening. I would never fuck a bowl of macaroni except with my mouth.
I feel like there's a
Calling
lot of
is for macaroni.
I think there's a lot of macaroni stories out there.